Welcome to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Boutis from Boutis Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth building challenges involved in your financial life.
Welcome back to The Agent of Wealth. This is your host, Mark Boutis. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. Jen Patterson is the founder of Dollar Divas, a money coaching company that supports female entrepreneurs or mompreneurs who need financial assistance with their businesses. With more than 12 years of experience, Jen has mastered the psychology of money, the step-by-step process of growing a business, and the art of creating financial stability. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So maybe you can start off by just kind of giving us a little bit of background or on your journey of how you founded Dollar Divas.
Yeah, it's a long story, but I'll try and keep it as short and sweet as possible. So I was a financial advisor in a previous lifetime. And while I was working in that industry, I found that the financial education for women really was lacking. There was not a lot of information out there. A lot of the information out there, it felt inaccessible to women. And so a friend of mine who was a realtor, we put our heads together and we said, well, like, let's just do it ourselves. Let's, you know, get women together. Let's get them talking about money. Let's put it in a way that is non-threatening and in a very open and comfortable atmosphere so that people could feel like they could ask questions. And so that was when Dollar Divas was born. Its first iteration was in-person events. We'd get together at coffee shops and we'd just talk about money with anyone who was willing to kind of show up and talk to us, which was a surprising amount of people. And so we did that and grew that, and it fed our businesses and it fed our souls, and it was wonderful. And then as my life changed and I became a mom and my life got a lot busier, I wasn't able to keep up with the financial advisor life. It just was too many balls in the air and things were slipping through the cracks. So I decided to switch gears and move into the online world and got into coaching. And the Dollar Divas brand just kind of evolved along with that. And I don't do in-person events anymore for a lot of reasons, but the same spirit of women gathering, talking about money, creating an environment for women to learn about money stayed the same. And that's kind of how I got where I am now.
So when you first started and you had these meetings at coffee shops, did you have like an agenda of, okay, I want to cover this topic, or was it kind of open and formal and you just, we got people talking about money and from there you kind of seen the patterns and seen the trends of what people had questions or concerns about?
We did both, actually. So we would do very structured workshops on specific topics, and then we would just have open discussions. Both were super fun. Like, I really loved doing both of them, the open-ended conversations. You never really knew what people were going to bring to the table, and everyone was always very different, and it depended on who showed up and what the questions were and how the conversation would flow from there. And then obviously, you know, we always felt like we had a lot of wisdom to impart. So doing the structured workshops was a lot of fun because people always walked away with something. Like, our goal was always to have them walk away with something that they could implement tomorrow to improve their financial lives. And I know a lot of the feedback that we got from those events was that they appreciated the very simple language that was used and the very practical nature of whatever we were talking about, whether it was investing or real estate or budgeting or you name it. You know, people would walk away with something that they could implement right away to make steps towards their goals.
Yeah, and one of the things that you mentioned, simplicity, and one of the things you promote is this pay yourself concept. And I think a lot of people out there have heard it, but there's probably a lot that don't really truly understand what it is. And then also, how do you get to that, you know, being able to pay yourself first?
Yeah, I find that that's across the board one of the biggest stumbling blocks, whether you're looking to improve your financial situation, build a business, lose weight, no matter what. People understand the theory of what they need to do, but implementation is a big part of why people struggle. They don't know how to implement. They don't know how to look at their own lives and say, this concept I'm now going to apply here. You know, that's something that I work with a lot of my clients on very specifically is, okay, let's look at your specific situation and how to apply these concepts into your life. So with like pay yourself, people will be like, okay, I need to pay myself, but How much? How do I do that? How do I structure it? What are the specific steps that I need to take in order to make that happen? And I was working with a client last week or maybe a little longer ago, and we took the step-by-step action of, okay, here's the revenue that's coming to your business account. Let's be very intentional about how you're going to allocate that. So how are you going to take those dollars and apply them to your life? How much are you going to spend on reinvesting in the business? How much are you going to spend putting towards an emergency savings account? How much are you going to actually pay yourself in salary? And we went through that process of being very intentional and setting it all up. And it didn't take us long. Like, this isn't rocket science. It's just sometimes you need that person to handhold you through the process. And at the end of it, the client said to me, "That's it." And I said, "Well, do you want it to be more complicated?" And she said, "Well, no, but I've always been very reactionary with my finances. I've never been proactive like this. And I didn't realize it was so simple and it was so easy, but just nobody ever taught her how." A very eye-opening experience for me to really see how simple these things are, but how much people still struggle with implementation.
Yeah. And, you know, there's obviously challenges involved with like that exercise that you mentioned of going through and looking at all the revenue coming in and making sure that it's allocated to the right places that it should be. And what I've seen people struggle with the most with the pay yourself concept is that, let's say the money isn't currently being allocated to the right spots or the spots that it should be or the spots that are most important to them. And to do that, they may have to change their lifestyle or their spending, and they struggle with that, right? No one obviously wants to change their, you know, reduce what they're able to spend on things like entertainment or this or that. How do you kind of change that mindset? Or is it as simple as, look, here's what you have to do? Or is there different ways can slowly shift over time? Or do you have them just rip a Band-Aid off and say, here's what you need to do and do it now? Or what's the approach?
Honestly, everybody's got a different mentality around it. You know, I liken the sort of the Band-Aid approach to trying to run a marathon when you've been sitting on the couch for 3 years. It generally doesn't go very well. Some people can do it. There is that like unique butterfly person that can just go from one extreme to the other, but that's pretty rare. So usually what I recommend is stock of where you are right now. So what are you actually doing currently? And where is the goal? Like, what are you shooting for? And then what are the baby steps along the way that are going to help you get there eventually? Is it going to happen overnight? No, but change rarely happens overnight. We all know that. So it's taking this long-term approach of baby steps. So the one that I see all the time in my practice is entrepreneurs who have a business but are not paying themselves. So every dollar they earn is going back into the business because they want it to grow. They want it to thrive. Yet they're not paying themselves, which I find, you know, kind of backward, but it is a lot of what entrepreneurs do. And so I'll say, well, instead of putting 100% of your revenue towards reinvesting in the business, let's start with 99% and then take that 1% of your revenue and pay yourself. And what happens over time is psychologically, they realize that they can run their business the same way with slightly less revenue. I mean, most people can do the same that they're doing with 99% of what they're currently using. You know, that 1% is pretty negligible. And even if it's just a couple of dollars, it really shifts the mindset and it starts to help the entrepreneur realize that they can pay themselves, that their business is not going to go bankrupt just because they are paying themselves. And that one little shift really makes a difference. And then all you have to do is just shift it more and more. And then it's 2%, then it's 5%, and then it's 10%. And then you can shift toward that goal of whatever it is. Maybe it is 10%, maybe it's 25%, maybe it's 50%, who knows? But it's that 1% that really shifts the mindset of, I can do this.
Almost sounds like this auto escalation feature for contributions on 401k plans, right? Similar thing. You have someone who's not contributing to their 401k, and for them to, let's say, go from contributing 0% to 10% per year, well, that's a big change, and they're going to feel that in their paycheck. But if they go from 0% to maybe 3%, and it escalates a percentage every year, you know, they, like you said, they can figure out on that 1% change per year how to adjust their spending without it really, you know, crushing their lifestyle. And then over time, it gets to that 10%. So like you said, shift in mindset does help, you know, over a period of time.
The way that I like to look at it is toothpaste. So everyone can picture toothpaste. And when you have the brand new tube of toothpaste, you know, load up the toothbrush and get going. As the toothpaste runs out in the tube, you have to get more and more creative about how you get it out of the tube. You know, you have to twist it. Maybe you shove your thumb in it. Maybe you like break it open with a knife. At the end of the day, your teeth still get brushed. It's just how you access that toothpaste will shift and change. And it's the same thing with our finances. We will find a way to make it work on less if, you know, we are so motivated to do so. If the money's just not there, we'll figure it out. And so that gradual shift is a great way to do that, because we'll slowly make those little tweaks, those little changes. We'll plug those little black holes where money's just sort of like disappearing into the ether to continue to make it work even with less, in the same way that we'll still manage to brush our teeth, even if you have to like rip open the toothpaste tube to find the last like dregs of toothpaste in there.
I like the analogy. Yeah. One of the other things you mentioned about, you know, sitting down with these entrepreneurs and looking at their revenue and what's coming in. A lot of times I see entrepreneurs whose income or whose revenue, it varies widely, let's say month to month, like some months are great. And then they might have another month or another series of months where barely anything comes in. And then they throw their hands up and say, I can't do this. I can't calculate what I'm, you know, what I need to spend or allocate my money because I just need to get by every month. In those months where things are really light, what are some of the tips you have for entrepreneurs that have this, you know, varied income who want to try and get their revenue and their spending under control?
That is the story of every entrepreneur I've ever met, ever. Because, you know, whether your work is seasonal or you're in those first early days of your business and you just can't predict your revenue, like there's always reasons why it fluctuates. And so one of the things that I've worked a lot with entrepreneurs is ditching the traditional like budget structure, because a lot of the traditional budgeting just doesn't work for entrepreneurs because we don't have that predictable every 2 weeks you get this amount of dollars. That's just not how business ownership works. When you're creating sort of your guide or your spend plan, I recommend using percentages rather than specific dollar amounts. So when you look at your revenue, look at just a single dollar. Everybody can picture a single dollar, and it's okay. How many cents of that dollar are you going to allocate to the various things that that dollar needs to do? So, you know, you have to think about things like taxes. So how many cents of that dollar do you need to put aside for your income taxes? How many cents of that dollar are you going to pay yourself with? How many cents of that dollar do you want to allocate to operating expenses and growth opportunities, whatever else, payroll, things like that. So looking at it like that, a lot more entrepreneurs, especially in the early stages entrepreneurs, they can get their head wrapped around that concept. And then they can really make quality decisions. So, you know, there are going to be times when that dollar amount doesn't cover and you may need to, you know, do a little bit of shifting or moving around. But what it also does is when you're in, you know, high season and things are going really well and you've got lots of money coming in, is you're putting aside cash to cover you in those lean months. Because you're allocating based on percentages, not based on dollar amounts, and then deciding, okay, what am I going to do with this extra cash? It's already sitting there. And if you know your work is cyclical, like for example, I run an Airbnb as well. We are very much in our slow season right now. And because we knew this was coming, we have an account that's dedicated to covering the shortfall for when the slow season comes, because I know it's coming because it's January in Victoria and it's raining and nobody wants to come. So... you know, create those systems that are going to work for you to help you navigate that feast and famine lifestyle. Because at the end of the day, you can get to a point where your revenue is relatively stable, but it's never going to be exactly the same every single month. It's just never going to happen. So, you know, using percentages and then creating more bank accounts to put that money aside so it's out of sight, out of mind, to fund the shortfall really is an effective way to navigate that roller coaster.
And I guess by doing that, by setting that money aside, you're almost creating, you know, you're mimicking sort of like someone who works that typical 9-to-5, works for their W-2 employee, and you're almost able to mimic that, basically build your own salary from that.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. And, you know, I always sort of, again, I like metaphors and analogies I find people really gravitate towards. And so I think of it like a well. You know, when it rains, the well fills. And then when you go through a drought, you just drain the well. You're not having to go and search out more resources elsewhere because you've got that well sitting and ready and waiting for you for the dry season. Like, it's going to happen. We all know it. No matter what job you're doing, something's going to go sideways. And having that nest egg, that well to draw on, is only going to make your life easier.
Yeah. On your website, you offer a simple money roadmap. Can you explain what it is and how that works?
Absolutely. So that is my signature pro coaching program. So it walks entrepreneurs through the step-by-step process of creating this money management system. So going from figuring out where you are right now, creating your bank account architecture is what I call it, the multiple different bank accounts that all serve different jobs. So we walk through creating that together. We talk about how to set goals and how to make them not just goals, but actual outcomes that you can accomplish, tick off a to-do list, and then how to use your revenue strategically and intentionally. So creating what I call a revenue allocation schedule, which is basically just a fancy way of saying like what to do with that dollar. And then how to grow your business in a way that is financially stable, creating a foundation and having the growth opportunities available to you, as well as being able to pay yourself. So basically being able to do it all and creating the money system to do that. And then the very last piece of the puzzle is, you know, how to grow and evolve with your business. And at that point, usually my clients, they go off into the sunset and, you know, I hear from them every couple of years saying, this is where I'm at. And it's really fun and exciting for me. That's the roadmap. It's a 3-month coaching program. And it really will transform the way that you see money and the way that your business supports you.
But then you also look at it on the personal side, because what I've seen is like the entrepreneurs, one of the things that makes them different is like decisions they make on the business side can impact the personal side. And then decisions they make on the personal side can impact the business side. And it's challenging to kind of juggle both of those rather, you know, versus someone who maybe just needs to focus on one side of the equation there.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So number one rule is business and personal shall not meet in the middle. If you are using your personal bank accounts to fund your business, then you are going to have a lot of gray hairs coming your way, because that is going to be a messy, messy situation when it comes to taxes. So absolutely, yes. The money goes into your business bank accounts, and that is how you pay yourself personally. It keeps it much neater, much tidier, and your accountant will be very, very happy if you have it set up like that.
Yeah. Another thing that I've seen unique to entrepreneurs is it can get challenging to manage the work-life balance. Where, and not that working 9 to 5, you know, if you have a regular 9 to 5 job, of course that can get out of control too, but it's very easy on the entrepreneur side. Any advice you have, you know, from your experience or from working with other people on how best to be an entrepreneur, but also manage the work-life balance?
Honestly, it depends on the client. And it depends on their situation. So quite often, if a client is married or has a partner and their partner is not really on board with doing the coaching program, then we'll sort of say, okay, if you have a system that it's not broken, like then that's great. But if that's something that they're struggling with, absolutely, we will talk about it. And quite often, I usually recommend very similar programs and very similar structures to the personal finances as I do for the business finances, especially when you're dealing with entrepreneurs, because it's like, if they can manage their money in the business this way successfully, then it's very easy to just apply the same methodology to their personal finances. And quite often what I've seen with my past clients is that they really appreciate the parallel between the two, and they can really see it. They're, you know, a lot of the entrepreneurs I work with tend to be very intuitive, very visual people. And with the bank account architecture, you can see it right there in black and white in seconds where you stand. And that's something that they really love and appreciate.
Yeah. Time blocking reminds me of like the whole pay yourself concept. Everyone knows what it means. It's tough to implement because, you know, we're obviously so distracted with everything that's going on. But anyone, you know, you read anything about productivity or you talk to someone and they'll say how key time blocking is, and how, you know, if you have something that needs concentration to do, you basically have to tune everything out and do your concentration. Or if you're going to do this, just tune everything else out. And this is what you focus your time on. So it's challenging, but definitely something that's necessary to do.
Honestly, I wish I had better advice, but I'm not great at that personally. So I have 2 kids. I've got 3 businesses. Like, life here is chaos all the time. And I wish I could say, oh yes, it's perfect and wonderful and lovely. And it's just not. But I will say that things that work for me are a very strategic and scheduled week. So I use time blocking in my life where if my calendar says that I am to be in meetings, then I'm in meetings. If my calendar says that I am to be dealing with my bookkeeping, then I'm dealing with my bookkeeping. If it says that I'm to be sitting on my tush watching Netflix, then that's what I'm doing. So, you know, creating that space and looking at my week from a bird's eye view and saying, okay, where am I putting in my self-care? Where am I putting in my work hours? You know, when do I need to be accessible to my kids? Drop-offs, pickups, things like that's what works for me, just because I am very type A. I am love a good spreadsheet. And that's really what keeps me on top of everything while not burning out. But it's not always successful because life happens.
Yeah. You know, I probably should have asked this earlier, but you started off by saying that you work with female entrepreneurs. What are some of the things that are different between female and male entrepreneurs or just people in general when it comes to their finances?
I will say one thing that really was a life-changing read for me was a book called Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg. And his methodology really did change the way that I view my life in a way that he said, you know, if you can't do it something in like 8 seconds, it's probably not going to happen, which I appreciated because usually 8 seconds was all I ever had to create something new. So, you know, he was all about the trigger points. And once you get started on a habit, then it just flows. And that really was life changing for me. So focusing not necessarily on the whole activity, but just that very first tiny little step to get it going made all the difference in the world. So I know, like, if I have bookkeeping time blocked, I know that I'm necessarily going to focus on not the whole bookkeeping process, but just gathering my receipts. Like, that is my trigger point. And once I've gathered the receipts, the rest of it just happens. But it's that very specific trigger point and celebrating when I win and actually gather the receipts at the time I'm meant to. So highly recommend that book. It really was a game changer for me and for a lot of my clients. I find that women, first of all, because the society has told us we're not good with money, they already have this sort of level of mental block around dealing with money. They don't want to talk about it. They feel embarrassed about it. They don't want to ask their questions. So, you know, that first and foremost comes up is, let's talk about those mental blocks of, you know, why you think you're not good with money. Why do you think that you're, you know, doomed essentially to not be good with money? And then the other thing is women tend to put themselves last. Again, societal pressures, we're caregivers, we're nurturers, and we're at the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, you look at any sort of mom and their kid is, you know, well-dressed and put together. And, you know, even myself, my own appearance today, I didn't get a chance to blow dry my hair because I was too busy getting my kids out the door and to school. That manifests itself in the not paying ourselves because our business becomes our baby. It becomes a priority. And once again, we fall to the bottom of the totem pole and don't get paid. So I quite often have to break down a lot of those barriers before we can even start on the strategic work. We have to talk a lot about that mindset. And I love working with women because it's an experience that I've had myself. It's a journey that I've walked through and continue to walk through throughout my life. And I feel like I've got a lot of wisdom to share with other women. And it's a lifestyle that I understand, especially, you know, dealing with moms too, because that is a life that I live every day. And I know how important it is to make sure that what I provide to them is things that they can do quickly, easy, and intuitively, because otherwise it's just not going to happen.
Makes sense. All right, Jen, that's all the questions I had for you today. I want to thank you for joining me on the show. I really enjoyed speaking to you about these money habits that entrepreneurs and mompreneurs can implement. How best can listeners find out more about what you do or get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So you can follow me on Instagram at jenpatterson.biz. You can also check out my website, dollardivas.org. I've got my Simple Money Roadmap there that you can check out. The other thing that I'm just launching starting next week is Friday mornings, I'll be hosting free co-working power hours. So I'll be available on Zoom. You can pop in, pop out. You can just log in and work alongside me. And it's to provide entrepreneurs with the opportunity to ask questions or just have some accountability and make sure that their money gets paid attention to on a weekly basis. So all that information is on my website. So dollardivas.org. Come check me out.
Great. We'll link to all that in the show notes. So thanks again, Jen. And thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Don't forget to follow the Agent of Wealth on the platform you listen from and leave us a review of the show. We're currently accepting new clients, and if you'd like to schedule a one-on-one consultation with our advisors, please do so at bowdisfinancial.com/call.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Bowdis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial planning and investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investments and financial planning.